And so now, without any further ado, I want you to give a very warm, not a polite pitter-patter sort of Vancouver clap, but a rousing welcome from the 1115 Mount Pleasant service to Anthony and Michelle Yackel as they lead us to UBC.
Thank you so much. That's wonderful. And we are so grateful to share a bit of the journey that we've been on over the last couple of years, especially as we follow the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. So our beginning point for this morning is to really begin that 2 years ago, Michelle and I made one of the hardest, painful decisions of our lives. We had started a church in Langley called Urban Road, and had poured 6 years into this young, developing faith community. It was a beautiful experience and story to be a part of as we saw so many people's lives changed and transformed because of the gospel of Jesus. But long story short, we had to face the reality that things just were not sustainable. And so 2 years ago with our leadership team, after a lot of discernment, we made a hard and right decision that that chapter was to close and that the church would come to a close as well. We were left wrestling, as you could imagine, with questions and disappointments, grief over the death of this dream that had been such a huge part of our lives for so many years. And now all we had were these dark clouds of uncertainty that were hanging over our heads as we tried to discern our next steps and where God would be leading us as a family. Closed doors were followed even more quickly by closed doors. The frustration and pain and anxiety, the disappointments that weighed heavy on our shoulders as we looked out onto this horizon of nothingness. We desperately needed wisdom, clarity, guidance for our lives, but all we saw was a dead end, not even a glimpse of light at the end of the path. Certainly a dark time for us. And from that painful decision in place, we decided as a family to take time away to create space so that we could heal, we could process and work together through this long, long season of waiting. And so with our kids, Katie and Nevin, right behind us, we rented out our house and we took an unpaid sabbatical to Mexico. Our first week there, I found myself up early watching a sunrise. Sunrise seems like such a simple, ordinary event. That's because it happens every day. But that one sunrise became a tangible God moment for me in light of what we were walking through. And so on this particular morning, I found myself sitting on a beautiful beach. And yet the reality was I was also sitting in a place of brokenness, of grief, disappointment. And then I began to watch the sunrise, and I got caught up in a moment of wonder. We have some actual photos from the day. But a sunrise doesn't just happen instantly. It's not like some type of magical light switch that goes off and on. The moment starts in darkness. And then slowly and gradually, the sky begins to brighten and these beautiful hues of color start dancing in the sky. And then the sliver of sun just begins to peek up over the horizon. And then this ball of light gets bigger and brighter until it finally arrives. And you're bathed in this warmth and brilliance. There's something so powerful about experiencing sunrise, leaving the darkness behind and stepping into a new day of hope and change and possibilities. But here's the thing. Before we get to that moment, before we get to that new reality and that new day and that daybreak, we have to walk through and experience and navigate the darkness and the waiting, living the moment before the moment, living with the anticipation and longing and hope for what's to come that's hidden just below the horizon. You could call it an Advent moment. Today's the start of our brand new series, as well as the start of Advent. And as we've already heard, the word Advent means coming. It's a season where we as Christians look back, particularly to the first coming of Jesus, and imagining what our world was like before God steps into it. Advent begins with the waiting and the longing for hope that will eventually lead us to the Christmas moment where God surprisingly enters our world as a baby. But to get there takes time. Throughout the unfolding of the human story, we find that God most often works not in instant ways, but in this gradual and slow arc of movement towards something beautiful and unexpected, just like the awakening of a sunrise. Or as Frederick Buechner poetically writes, the extraordinary thing that's about to happen is matched only by the extraordinary moment just before it happens. Advent is the name of that moment. Advent taps into this deep ache and longing and desire and hope for what's to come, but it isn't here just yet. It's still in the in-between time and the waiting period, the place where we hold our questions and our doubts and our frustrations. To live in that reality, though, is incredibly painful. Advent acknowledges and creates this wide open space for God to meet us in the full range of our human experience, for God to speak to us in the good and in the bad, in the joy and in the tears, and yes, even in and especially in the dark times. Advent points us to the reality that God hasn't abandoned us, that hope is real and is coming. Well, that longing for hope isn't new, because it's deeply rooted within the human soul. It's also rooted deeply in faith. In fact, hundreds of years before Jesus enters the world, the Jewish people expressed the same longing and leaning towards hope and change and guidance in the midst of very difficult and dark days. The ancient prophet Isaiah makes a beautiful declaration towards hope, beginning with these words in chapter 9. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Sounds like a sunrise, doesn't it? And then verses 6 and 7, which is the text for our series, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all of eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Let's pray. Jesus, allow our hearts to connect to yours this morning in this moment in a real and tangible way. Amen.
Well, this passage was actually written 700 years before Jesus was born, and it comes at a very critical time in Israel's story and history. Eventually, this passage does lead us to the Christmas moment, but it actually starts off in Advent, a season of darkness and waiting, and it begins at a far different place than we might imagine or expect. At the time, the Jewish people were still living in their own land, but they were clearly under a lot of distress as a nation. There was uncertainty as to their future, and they had feelings of fear, anxiety, and all of it was very, very tangible for them. They were existing under the threat, actually, of a superpower of the day known as the Assyrian Empire. And eventually, the Assyrian Empire did attack them. While they were able to ward them off, it certainly wouldn't be the last battle that the nation of Israel would fight. In fact, about 200 years later, the Babylonians came and they fell to the Babylonians and they were sent into exile. But in this passage, in this current moment, the nation of Israel is actually living in a state of fear and uncertainty as their future. That threat of imminent attack, no doubt, has left them feeling shaken, uncertain, anxious, and fearful. Isaiah himself actually describes this as a season of walking in darkness. I wonder how many of us here today might be able to relate in some small way. But you see, in the midst of the uncertainty, Isaiah speaks to the nation, and he gives this beautiful and this surprising declaration that darkness will give way to light. Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament theologian, actually tells us that these words were meant to stir their imaginations and hearts towards hope. You see, there is a sunrise coming. There is hope. A new day is almost here, a time where your and my surrounding darkness will give way to light, where despair will turn to hope. A new king is coming, one whose rule and authority is different than anything you've ever known. Isaiah is telling Israel, in the midst of their uncertainty, in the midst of a time when they're sitting, feeling trapped and not sure what's ahead, he's telling them that what's ahead of you is going to be different, that the oppression and the fear and the burdens are all going to be removed, that what you've come to expect from other kings and rulers is going to be flipped upside down. This king is going to come and take the burdens off of your shoulders and place them upon himself. And then in the passage, we hear Isaiah pronounce four names that describe what this king is going to be like. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but if I was a nation of Israel and I heard those words, they would definitely sound very hope-filled, especially given the certain circumstances that they found themselves in. It was a hope-filled declaration. And I think maybe, perhaps, some of us here today need to hear those same names spoken over our circumstances and our situations. As we move through the text, it's important to understand that there's actually a couple of storylines unfolding here. The first we've already spoken of, and it's the immediate context of Israel's history. But scholars believe that Isaiah was actually speaking specifically about a new king who was on the political scene named Hezekiah. These were very hope-filled words given to Israel in their current situation. The second storyline is actually how the early New Testament church recognized and affirmed this text as a prophecy regarding Jesus himself, the ultimate and divine king who arrives on the scene as a baby in flesh and blood. It was Jesus himself who would actually come and turn the world upside down. It was Jesus who would introduce a new way of life called the kingdom of God. And it was Christ who challenged the mindsets of his day and the culture and actually challenged the power structures of his time. It was Jesus who came and surprised everyone, and he was the one who sought to stir the imaginations of people by his teachings and his very actions. One of the titles given is Wonderful Counselor, which literally means one who's an extraordinary advisor and guide, one full of divine wisdom and insight. I don't know about you, but I know lots of people who seek counsel from those around them, who spend a lot of money to get advice and wisdom. And sometimes it's hard to find someone because it costs a lot of money, or maybe everybody you need to talk to is all booked up. But the reality is you and I have been given the gift of Christ himself, who calls himself to us our wonderful counselor. In the New Testament, we read that Jesus came to move us from darkness to light, from death into life, and to guide us into a new way of being, thinking, and doing. In fact, he makes a bold proclamation that his Father will send a counselor to us, a helper and an advocate. In John 14:16, it tells us that we are to be given one who will lead and guide us into truth. In other words, the same Holy Spirit that was at work within Jesus is going to be given to you and I as his followers. So in the same way, if we are carrying any type of burden on our shoulders, if you and I are in a place of uncertainty, darkness, anxiety, fear, or even waiting, we are to be given the same hope to know that he will come alongside of us, lift that weight off of our shoulders, and then walk with us into a new day and a new hope. There are so many dimensions as to how God can reveal himself to us as a wonderful counselor. And in our remaining time today, Anthony and I want to simply talk about two things that we ourselves have observed and experienced in knowing God as our wonderful counselor. And we want to tie it into our story and our journey leading us here to 10th and to UBC. And we trust that you'll find our words encouraging and maybe even find a bit of your own story in our own.
So here's the first one, observation number one. As the wonderful counselor, God begins where we are. Or as the late Eugene Peterson wrote, God starts out where we start out. A child is born. God doesn't start at the finish line. He doesn't start with the top-down, heavy-handed approach. Instead, he takes the weight of life on his own shoulders. He begins in the dust of the earth and in the dust of our lives, whether it's in a dirty stable or a dark night of the soul, to borrow a phrase from Christian history. He becomes flesh and blood and moves into the neighborhood. God's starting point is the moment, the space, the situation we find ourselves in right now. He isn't put off by it. In fact, it seems like he works completely opposite. He's drawn to that. He starts in the uncertainty, the doubts, the waiting, and he joins us where we are in that moment. It's the unexpected and beautiful reality of the incarnation, God with us. That is the profound divine wisdom of the wonderful counselor who says, I'm here with you in the midst of your situation and your story. Jesus hasn't abandoned us because he's the one who is for us and with us. God begins where we are in our moment. See, it's easy to lose sight of our immediate place and moment when we're desperate to see what's further down the road, but it's our current reality that allows for God to show up and meet us in unexpected, surprising ways. And that was certainly a truth that we began to experience during our time away. Leading up to that were moments of discouragement, questions for all of us as we packed up our home and prepared to rent it out. And we honestly didn't know what we would be coming back to. The grim reality was that unless something changed dramatically and drastically for us as a family, we'd probably need to sell our house on our return and move out of the Lower Mainland. So it's huge steps of and sacrifices of faith in this whole process, moments of deliberate choice to trust God with our journey and to trust that he was with us even in the midst of the waiting and the uncertainty and the fear. And yet as we look back, we can see the wonderful counselor at work leading, guiding, assuring us along the way. It wasn't a typical sabbatical as we ended up doing a lot of resume sending, job searching, during that time. But it was also a gift for our family to take this time to have deep, raw conversations together, learning to dream again, asking God for wisdom and guidance and hope in the midst of our Advent waiting season. In March, we were contacted unexpectedly by a church on Vancouver Island. Funny thing is, we had never actually applied for the position, because we found out later someone else applied for it on our behalf. But we said, well, let's at least have a conversation. And so we ended up doing a Skype interview. And while it was a good opportunity, as a family, we just didn't sense that it was the right one for our family. But it was the only real lead that we had. And we said, well, we're going to say yes to conversations and be open that the possibility is the Holy Spirit, as the wonderful counselor, might actually be moving us in this direction. May 6th, we had a second interview with the church, found out we were one of two remaining candidates. And that night, we drove into town with our kids, had this amazing conversation with them about what it means to obey God and trust him, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems dark. We'd been asking God to show us, to lead us, to guide us to where we should go. And after many closed doors, this seemed like the only real opportunity right in front of us. And we talked about it and what it would mean for our family that we would have to move and embrace a new community. And we talked about pros and cons. And while it may not have been our ideal situation, we all agreed our responsibility was to trust God in that moment and to be open to his guiding in our lives. And we shared with Katie and Nev that sometimes God asks us to just be open. And while things don't always look how we would want them to or even seem logical, he asks us to trust. Our job is to simply be present in the moment, to hold our hands open to our Father and to trust that as the wonderful counselor, he will lead us and guide us because he's right there in our moment. And so, driving in the car in Mexico, we did just that. We prayed and we asked God for open hands, open hearts, knowing that he would be faithful to lead us, even though it wasn't looking like the destination we were hoping for. But even in that disappointment, we knew our posture of obedience was more important than our personal hopes and dreams. God is the wonderful counselor. He begins where we are. He doesn't wait for us to get it all figured out. He steps into our everyday moments and meets us right there. Well, here's where it gets crazy. The very next day, we got an email from 10th Church, and this role that we're now in began to unfold right in front of our eyes. And within just a couple days, the other church opportunity suddenly closed. Sometimes God wants to know the true intention of our hearts as we walk the journey before him. And as the wonderful counselor, he knows what weighs heavy on us. He knows how to carry our burdens, how to guide us. But he also wants us to be active participants with him, to lean into him, to trust, and to know that our present moment matters to him because he is God with us.
The second thing we've observed is that God doesn't leave us where we are. He moves us towards hope for the future. In our passage today, Isaiah talks about this moment from darkness to light. It's a grand narrative and arc of the Bible. God always moves and guides towards hope. He meets us where we are. That's God with us. But here's the great news. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us in the darkness. He doesn't leave us permanently in the season of waiting and limbo. He doesn't stop at Advent. He doesn't stop just before the sunrise. No. The wonderful counselor moves us. He leads us and moves us and guides us towards hope and future. He invites us into his new dreams and purposes for our lives. But it requires faith. It requires risk, and it's going to require action to step out in faith. But we can be confident that as a wonderful counselor and advisor, he will walk with us in that ongoing journey in our story and our lives. God's desire is to move us from darkness to light, to give us hope for the future. So prior to leaving on our sabbatical, Anthony and I had sent out numerous resumes, as he said. And Anthony and I have pastored together for a lot of years, and so our resume is actually a joint one. And one of our greatest joys comes in serving and leading together. So we've always just sent out a joint resume. But just before leaving out of the country, Anthony had come across this posting here at 10th, and without telling me, he had actually submitted his personal resume. Yes, not our joint one, his personal one. So, true story. So about a month later, while we're in Mexico, Anthony just happens to tell me what he did. And I'm like, what? And needless to say, there were some conversations that unfolded after this disclosure. But all that to say, months later, we still hadn't heard anything, so it was easily dismissed, forgiven, and forgotten. Well, that was until we received a message that 10th had actually been trying to get in touch with Anthony for a couple of weeks. All that to say this, God orchestrates our journey as he did for the nation of Israel, as Christ did with his early disciples, and as he does in our world today. He's the wonderful counselor who leads us to places of hope, even when everything around us can scream the opposite. What unfolded next was even more unexpected for us as a family, and we began to see the broken and hurting pieces of our story being infused with life and purpose. What was left unraveled in our journey was now being woven into this tapestry of this journey that God was unfolding before us. When Anthony had actually applied for this new site pastor at 10th, he had no idea of where the location was. But I need to tell you something. A year and a half prior to this, God had placed the Point Grey area on Anthony's heart. And he began to pray about this area. He would take time and drive and walk the streets and pray. And God began to birth a vision in his heart for Point Grey. I thought this was a little absurd because we were living in Langley at the time, and I'm thinking, this doesn't even make sense. But you see, that's the point. Sometimes God plants a hope for our future into us long before the fruition or fulfillment of it ever comes to pass. That is what the wonderful counselor does. He prepares for us. He prepares us for what's still ahead. In those first conversations with 10th, Anthony asked them, Do you have any idea of where you're wanting to start this new site? Can you imagine what leapt in his heart and his spirit when he heard these words? UBC, Point Grey. There's so much more to the story, but in the process of interviewing Anthony, I was also brought into the conversation. And together, over the coming months, we were both welcomed to join this team and together to take a step of faith along with 10th into what God was calling us to start a new community at UBC. You see, as you step out of faith, you never quite know where God is going to take you and the places, rather the unexpected places, you'll find yourself. For instance, there's a rabbi, a Sikh, a Baptist, a Pentecostal, an Alliance in a room. I know, you think I'm going to tell a joke. Sounds like it, but it's actually not. This is our new life. Anthony and I recently found ourselves being interviewed by the multi-faith chaplaincy of UBC. What an amazing opportunity and experience that was for us. You see, as we've embarked on this journey, God has led us into situations we could never have imagined. Sitting in Mexico half a year ago, feeling broken, grieving, crying out to God, asking him to lead us and care for our family, we could never have imagined where we found ourselves today. Serving with 10th, starting a new site at UBC, serving on the UBC multi-faith chaplaincy, meeting staff, faculty, and students literally from around the world, and engaging in the future our wonderful counselor had already mapped out for us. There's still a huge level of faith to this journey for us, for our family, to trust in all that's still to come, for the needs of our family, a place to live, for those, maybe even sitting here today, that will join us and serve with us. And yet, he has not left us in darkness, but he has moved us further into the story of his master plan. He cares for the world. His wisdom and wonder are filled with hope and anticipation for the future. And therein lies the awe of our wonderful counselor. He meets us where we're at, and then he moves us into that hope and that future, a place of waiting to a place of wonder.
Over the last couple of weeks, I found myself humming these words from the familiar Christmas carol, and I won't sing it. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. There it is. From Isaiah's time to the birth of Christ in our world to our present day and yes, to our future. The hopes and fears from all the years are met in him. He meets us where we're at. And in his divine goodness, he moves us from our present state into hope for the future.
For some of us here today, maybe you're still in that season of waiting. God wants to say to you, keep trusting, keep holding on, and don't give up. He meets us where we are at. God begins where we are, and then he moves us towards hope. Maybe for others of us here today, maybe this is your time to actually step out, to take that risk and to know that he's actually wanting to move you forward. Or perhaps today, you've sensed God calling you to be a part of the 10th team at UBC. To be willing to take a risk and to trust him with a new step in your story. We don't have it all figured out, but that's part of the journey and perhaps part of the risk worth taking, the leading of the wonderful counselor. Isaiah's declaration for Israel was that the wonderful counselor was coming to carry the burden of the world on his shoulders. Advent leads us out of this darkness into light, and the unassuming birth of our Savior led us to the eternal hope and future before us. My prayer is that your heart today will be left with the one who calls you to lean in and to trust, to know personally the wonderful counselor and all he has in store for you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you go before us and that you have told us in your word that you have given us the wonderful counselor, the one who can come alongside us and guide us, but that you do not leave us permanently in waiting or despair or darkness, but you meet us where we're at. And then you choose to move us deliberately and intentionally into that hope and future. Father, we thank you for that truth today. We thank you for the life of Christ. We thank you that we have that hope for our future, and it is rooted deeply in the promises of who you are for us today. So, Father, no matter where we are in our journey or our story, may we pause in this moment to remember that you are the wonderful counselor who guides us into hope and the future. May we rest in that assurance today, knowing that Advent leads us out of darkness through that season of waiting into your beautiful, redemptive light and purposes. May we submit our situations and our circumstances into your hands, we ask in your name. Amen.